Live coverage from ABC News. Here is ABC News correspondent Brad Milkey.
It was the most deadly mass shooting in American history when a gunman walked into the Pulse nightclub in Orlando and opened fire, killing 50, injuring 53. The names of 22 have been revealed, 22 victims so far. That means, horrifically, still 28 to go. Authorities in Orlando now delivering statements to the press. Let's listen in.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Jason Pack, special agent with the FBI. I wanted to bring you guys up to date on the latest from here in Orlando. We've assembled our team behind us, and I'm going to let them individually update what their agencies are doing. So we'll start with the Orlando mayor first.
Good morning. Yesterday was the most horrific day in the history of the city of Orlando, and yet I stand here prouder today of our community than ever. We came together united to support the families and friends of the victims. We learned of the heroic acts of our Orlando Police Department and other local law enforcement agencies, as well as our citizens. Hundreds of lives were saved during the course of that night. OPD and the other law enforcement agencies responded heroically, allowing hundreds to escape at the beginning of the event and then breaching the wall, killing the bad guy, and rescuing dozens of hostages. The medical personnel that saved so many lives that were transported to the hospital are certainly heroes in my mind today, as well as the entire community. And then we begin thinking of the families and identifying the victims, which is critically important, because I could not imagine being one of the parents or knowing that your loved one might be among those that are deceased and having to wait and find out. The FBI did an unbelievable job of clearing the scene. By 11 o'clock, all of the victims had been removed and turned over to the medical examiner and to the FDLE. And then they also stood tall and did their job. And now all 48 of the 49 victims have been identified. 24 of the next of kin have been notified, with more to come. The number to call for families is 407-246-4357, 407-246-4357. As the next of kin are being notified, we are putting the names of the victims on cityoforlando.com/victims. So again, I want to just compliment the medical examiner and the FDLE for the work that they did all night long in making the identifications and then notifying the next of kin, and we will continue that process today. Again, we will not be defined by the act of a cowardly hater. We will be defined by how we respond, how we treat each other, and this community has already stepped up to do that. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a few minutes ago, I asked the President Obama to declare a state of emergency for the state of Florida. I did that yesterday for Orlando, Orange County, and the mayor did it yesterday for the city. When you stop to think about this, you think about, we all think about, thank God it wasn't our family. But if you go through that list of family members, we have a lot of individuals from Puerto Rico. We have a wonderful Puerto Rican community. I have a young lady, KJ Morris, that just moved here from Hawaii to take care of her mother and grandmother. I have an individual that, Luis Velma, that works at Harry Potter. I was just there last week. So you think these are people that we interact with every day of our lives. Our law enforcement has done a wonderful job. The Orlando Police Department, the Sheriff's Department, FDLE, the FBI did a wonderful job of getting the bodies removed from Pulse, and FDLE with the medical examiner did a great job of identifying the bodies. This is a wonderful community we live in. This is a wonderful state. We are the best melting pot in the world. We have 20 million people to live here. We'll have over 100 million people to come visit here because it's a wonderful place to both live and visit. We're going to continue to work hard to take care of these families and make sure we try to get this community back and the state back to work as quickly as we can. But right now, it's time to grieve for each family member that either lost a loved one or still has somebody in a hospital injured. Now I'll turn it over to Orlando Chief John Mines.
Good morning. I wanted to provide some more information about our initial response and subsequent rescue of many, many people. So again, we had an extra duty, off-duty officer working for Pulse Nightclub in full police uniform. At about 2 o'clock, he responded to shots fired. He did engage in a gun battle with the suspect somewhere near one of the entrances. Shortly after that, additional officers responded. Those additional officers made entry while the suspect was shooting, engaged in another gun battle with the suspect, forced him to stop shooting and retreat to the bathroom, where we believe he had several hostages. At that time, we were able to save and rescue dozens and dozens of people who were injured and not injured and get them out of the club. Things kind of stabilized based on statements made by the suspect about explosives, about possible bomb vests. We kind of secured everything, called SWAT, and we did set up for an explosive breach on the bathroom wall, where we knew there were approximately 15 people in the opposing bathroom to where the suspect was with his hostages. Based on statements made by the suspect, based on information we received from the suspect and from the hostages and people inside, we believed further loss of life was imminent. I made the decision to commence the rescue operation and do the explosive breach. The explosive breach did not penetrate the wall completely. We used our armored vehicle, the Bearcat armored vehicle, to punch a hole in that wall and defeat the wall. So there's a hole in the wall about 2 feet off the ground and about 2 or 3 feet wide. We were able to rescue dozens and dozens of people that came out of that hole. The suspect came out of that hole himself, armed with a handgun and a long gun, engaged in a gun battle with officers, where he was ultimately killed. So at that time, at this time, I just want to say that the OPD officers, from the initial responding officers to the SWAT officers, to all the other law enforcement, acted very heroically and courageous and saved many, many, many lives during this operation. And our one officer was struck in the Kevlar helmet right above his forehead. That Kevlar helmet did save his life. I talked to him and spoke with him at length last night. He is doing great. So at this time, I'll turn it over to Special Agent Danny Banks. I'll answer some questions.
Could you clarify if any more victims were shot when it was a hostage situation?
I'll talk about it for you.
So good morning. I want to talk very briefly about what our primary mission for all of us today is, and that's the identification of the victims and the notification of the family. As you heard from Mayor Dyer, we have confirmed the identity of 48 of our 49 victims. The last identity confirmation is pending right now, so we anticipate having that name here shortly. A number of those, as you've heard from the mayor, we have notified their next of kin, and that is our 100% priority mission today. As you're aware, the City of Orlando is advertising the names of those victims as we make the notification to the family member, and I'll explain to you very briefly on how that's going. We have teams of FDLE agents, OPD officers, FBI agents that we're deploying as we're identifying these victims throughout the state and really throughout the nation to identify the family members to let them know that their loved one is deceased. Once we've confirmed that, that is at the time we'll post that to our website. So I ask that everybody just respect the privacy of the family, and that we will advertise those names of those victims, but only at the time that we can confirm the next of kin is notified. Again, I want to state that is the primary mission of all of us right now, to notify the family members exactly that one of their loved one is dead, and then we will advertise those names publicly to the rest of the community. So I'll turn it over to now. I believe the FBI is ready to speak. Ron Hopper. U.S. Attorney Lee Bentley.
As Mayor Dyer said, yesterday was the most horrific day in the history of Orlando. Indeed, it was the day of the largest mass shooting in the history of the United States. Terrible tragedy. First of all, on behalf of the federal government, I'd like to thank our state and local partners, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, the Orlando Police Department, the Orange County Sheriff's Office, the men and women of these agencies have been working tirelessly over the last day and a half. On behalf of the federal government, I'd also like to thank the governor, Senator Nelson, and all the other elected officials who've been here today for their help, for their interest in what's going on here. We're working very closely at the United States Attorney's Office with our partners at the Maine Department of Justice and the National Security Division. We're also working, of course, with the FBI and with ATF. An amazing amount has been done in just over 24 hours. As has been explained, almost all of the victims have been identified. The notification process is ongoing. We've been collecting a great amount of electronic and physical evidence. There is an ongoing criminal investigation. It is still in the early stages. We do not know yet whether anyone else will be charged in connection with this crime. I do want to let you know that we have no reason to believe that anyone connected to this crime is placing the public in imminent danger at this time. But there is an investigation of other persons. We're working as diligently as we can on that. We have teams of prosecutors as well as teams of agents working around the clock, getting search warrants, getting court orders. If anyone else was involved in this crime, they will be prosecuted. And now I'm going to turn it over to the ATF Special Agent in Charge, Regina Lombardo. Thank you.
Good morning. First, I'd just like to extend, ATF's family would like to extend a heartfelt, warm appreciation for the extended visit here today. But on behalf of the ATF, we'd like to say we are here to give you their role in the investigation. We found on the scene, there were two weapons on the scene. ATF brings a unique tracing capability to the table. We've been able to trace those weapons. The weapons have been traced to the last known purchaser, which is the shooter. One of the weapons was also, the third weapon was also found in his vehicle. We are still working on tracing that weapon as well. We would like to extend our heartfelt condolences to the victims' families, as well as the LGBT community. We are working the investigation with a team of ATF analysts, special agents. We are working together with the FBI and all our state and local partners here today. We have a team of people here that are able to provide what we can to this investigation. I'd like to now turn it over to the FBI, Special Agent in Charge.
Good morning. My name is Paul Weissipel. I'm the Special Agent in Charge of the FBI's field office here in Tampa, which includes the Orlando Resident Agency. I think yesterday you heard from Assistant Special Agent in Charge Ron Hopper, who did a commendable job as the on-scene commander for the FBI. I think one of the things to take away from this, these bad events such as this, as we learned in 9/11, brings the community together, including the law enforcement community. As you see, everybody represented here, we all work together from the get-go. From the time at 2 o'clock in the morning when the shooting began, everybody rallied together to work the case as one force. We have a joint terrorism task force, of which all these agencies represented that just spoke are also represented on the joint terrorism task force. So we work cases side by side. I think a lot of the investigation so far has kind of been disclosed to you. The main thing that we looked at in the very beginning is the victims. As you heard, there are 49 that are deceased, 48 have been identified. Family members of about 24 families have been notified. We also have brought down 30 victim witness specialists, and they're to work with the families to try to get them what they do need. The resources are available. Other agencies have pulled their resources and brought them down. The FBI has brought resources to bear from the Miami field office, the Atlanta field office, the Jacksonville field office, as well as Quantico, Virginia. The laboratory has sent down shooting reconstructionists, and that's kind of the next task at hand. As of last night, within 24 hours, all the victims were removed from the Pulse Bar Lounge, and now We're going to be processing it with the shooting reconstruction team to get as much forensic evidence as we possibly can at that point. The investigation continues. Over the night, we've probably processed about 100 leads that were worked on by agents and task force officers combined. The task force has been up and running since the beginning of this and will continue to run. That's one of the things that all the agencies will do is bring the resources to bear. Our focus is to get the truth and to get it to you as quickly as we can. But you have to realize there is a balancing act. A lot of what we do on investigations may become classified. Can't disclose that information. Basically ask for your patience and that you bear with us in the investigation. We'll disclose what we can, when we can. And you have to recognize that when we can't, it's not because we don't want to. It's because there may be prosecutions down the road. We're not sure where the leads will go. As you know, post 9/11, no stone is unturned. And that's the same today as it was then. Every terrorism case and the investigation is going to be worked the same way. No stone will be left unturned. We'll follow the leads wherever they take us. And we'll brief you as best we can when we can. But you'll have to bear with us on that and just trust our judgment. The FBI has been in existence for over 108 years now, and we've earned the people's trust by working cases hard and being straightforward with you. And we don't want to violate that trust by giving you bogus information that 2 hours later we got to come back out and tell you that information was wrong. So we keep you abreast as best we can by giving you accurate information. And by doing that, it may take us some time to get you that accurate information. So with that, just ask you to bear with us as we move forward in the investigation. I want to do like everyone else did and commend the first responders. They actually saved lives by responding as quickly as they did. Numerous people were brought out alive and unharmed, and many more are in the hospital, hopefully to recover and begin that healing process. And that's another thing that's a bonus for this community, that it has come together, and hopefully that will maintain and stay the course. Barring that, I guess we'll take some questions.
Why is the number changed from 49?
Live from Orlando, Florida, an ongoing press briefing from law enforcement outlining what exactly happened and steps going forward. You've been hearing from the FBI, the Orlando PD, and several local and national officials. You're listening to live coverage from ABC News. Let's go back to Orlando, where authorities are now taking questions.
Families have been made aware of their location.
Chief, can you help us clarify one thing, if you don't mind?
We've got a couple more remarks, and then we'll answer questions. Sure thing.
Sure. Good morning. This has certainly been a trying time for all of us, and I can tell you, as a native of Orlando, this is certainly touching to my family and I. I've served here in this community with the Orlando Police Department and now as Orange County Sheriff, and there's never really been a time where I've seen where the agencies at the federal, state, and local level have really come together to work. And throughout the night, our agencies have continued to work with the FBI. We have a great partnership, and I am certain that within just a short period of time, all of these victims will be able to be identified and those families will be reunited with their loved ones, if you will. That effort is certainly going on, and so we have received tremendous outpourings of support from across the country, from our colleagues and law enforcement. And I can tell you that it's very heartwarming to all of us who wear the badge and carry the gun on a daily basis. As I have talked with some of my staff and some of the staff of the Orlando Police Department who responded yesterday to this tragedy, the men and women were certainly touched by this. Many of them saw some carnage that they would never ever see in any other location. If you think about it, this is not a war zone that we are living in. This is a civilized society, and we had to deal with something unthinkable in which 50 people, 49 victims, and an individual died yesterday, and many of these law enforcement officers had to go in and observe that. So now it's about putting our community, our nation back together, and at the same time ensuring that those individuals who had to deal with what they saw yesterday are able to come back to work and do their jobs. And so that's where I am at this point, working with all of our partners to make sure we take care of those brave souls who responded. So at this time, I believe we're turning it over to the Attorney General, is what I was told.
Yes, sir.
that correct?
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Attorney General Pam Bundy.
Good morning. Just to update you from last night, we have mobilized 14 of our victims' advocates from Pensacola to Miami. They're all here. They're all together. They're on the ground. They're working with the FBI, with the city of Miami. We know now that of the victims, only 24 families have been notified. I know you have this number, but please repeat it, 407-246-4357. 407-246-4357. If you're a friend, a distant friend, please don't use that number. That number is for relatives, loved ones who are still attempting to identify these victims. We're here, we're prepared to help you. We have counselors, advocates, and we also have compensation counselors who can also aid with funeral expenses if these victims' families aren't able to do so for themselves. So today, our goal, as the sheriff said, we're working together. This is about unity. This is about bringing the great city of Orlando back together, our state and our country. And thank you again to our federal, state law enforcement officers and Governor Rick Scott for standing strong with us this entire time. Thank you. Thank you.
Can you answer that one question? Can you clarify, when this became a hostage situation for several hours, do you believe that the killer fired any more shots, killed any more victims during that time span?
No. As soon as it kind of stabilized and the suspect had barricaded himself in the bathroom, our negotiators were talking with him, and there were no shots at that time. But there was talk about bomb vests, about explosives throughout, and then there were statements made about imminent loss of life, and so that's why I made the decision to make the entry at that time. About 0500 hours in the morning. He made that phone call, we believe, while he was in the bathroom, correct, after the initial victims were shot. He was in one bathroom with, we believe, 4 to 5 hostages. There were people in the opposing bathroom, about 15 to 20 people, and unknown when we rescued dozens and dozens of people, so we don't know from which bathroom they came at this point. So that's all part of the investigation.
Chief, how would you characterize any other suspects that may have been inside of that club at the time?
Not that I'm aware of from inside the club. I know there's another investigation going on by the FBI, but nothing from inside the club.
How would you characterize the killer's demeanor during this entire operation?
I would say, based on the calls, he was cool and calm when he was making those phone calls to us.
Chief, there was a crisis negotiator called out to the scene. Is that correct? Did that person ever talk to the shooter? If so,
absolutely. We had a team of crisis negotiators that did talk to the suspect, just trying to get as much information as possible, and they focused on what we could do to help resolve the situation.
Jake, you had said that you were involved in making sure you made the ultimate decision when to breach, whether to breach, how to breach. Can you talk about what that was like making that decision?
Yeah, absolutely. And let me just say this, I'm surrounded by a great team of people from not only the Orlando Police Department, but the sheriff, as well as our federal partners. And the information that I received from my team is that loss of life was imminent. So yes, had to make that decision, hard decision to make, but again, I wasn't alone. I did have a team of people advising me, and we all knew that was the right thing to do, and believe we prevented a lot future loss of life and saved many, many lives.
When he's on the phone, there are reports from witnesses that he was laughing, shouting, celebrating as he was firing, and that he proclaimed his allegiance to ISIS. What did he really say that you know?
There was an allegiance to the Islamic State. There was no laughing as far as our negotiations were involved.
When will you release the 911 calls?
What's that?
When will you release the?
That's up to the FBI. It's all part of their federal investigation right now.
Chief, is there a chance that people might have been struck by friendly fire, so to speak, maybe in the crossfire, maybe an officer's bullet might have hit one of the victims?
Well, I would say it's all part of the investigation, but I will say when our SWAT officers, about 8 or 9 officers, opened fire, their backdrop was a concrete wall, and they were being fired upon. So that's all part of the investigation.
There are reports that he also
I have not heard that.
Can you tell us if there was any surveillance inside the club, and if so, what have you learned from that?
Video surveillance?
Yes.
I'm not sure about that right now.
Why was there a 3-hour delay between going in?
Because of the scene had stabilized. It was a barricaded hostage situation at that time. We were negotiating with him, and there were talk of bombs and explosives. Now, when that talk became a crisis for us, was when we knew there would be an imminent loss of life and an imminent thing that made us have to make that decision and go in. He really wasn't asking for a whole lot, and we were doing most of the asking.
Can you explain what is that like to make a decision that you have people that were injured in the club, you'd like to get rescue personnel to help them, maybe save their life, but you have to make this other decision to wait to maybe prevent more loss of life? What was that like to make that decision, knowing people might be losing their lives because they couldn't get medical attention and you needed to wait? What was that like personally for you as a chief?
Well, absolutely, it's a hard decision to make, but it's the right decision to make. Our number one priority is on saving lives. So it was the right decision to make, I believe. And tough decision, knowing that people's lives would be placed in danger by that entry. Our officers' lives would be placed in danger by that entry. But we trained for that. We have some of the most heroic and courageous SWAT team members around. So they did a fabulous job and saved many, many lives.
Was this a suicide mission for him? Did you recover any explosives? And what was the third gun?
I don't know about any third gun or any explosives recovered.
Was it a suicide mission, though?
We could not determine that based on the conversations we had with him.
Final question.
Where were most people found in the club? There were several rooms in that building.
Yeah, the lounge area, the bathroom, the bar area. But dozens and dozens of people were saved when our initial responding officers made that first entry. We were able to get most of the people out of the dance floor, out of the bar lounge area.
And when you said the ambassador gets the wall, did you mean
one more question, sir?
Question for the FBI. Why did the system?
What made it imminent? What did
it save? Well, there was a timeline given, and we believe there was imminent loss of life that we needed to prevent.
In that 3 hours, did anyone die? Did you kill anyone from 2 to 5?
There were no reports of shots fired during that time that I'm aware of.
Thank you all very much. Thank you.
What for the FBI?
Mr. Wessel, here. Final question.
Live from Orlando, authorities painting a dramatic picture of several gunfights, hostage taking, police busting a hole in a wall with explosives and heavy-duty machinery, and rescuing people, but the suspect Omar Mateen also emerging from that hole with weapons, engaging in another gunfight before ultimately being killed. Meanwhile, the grim task of identifying victims and notifying family members continues. Just half the victims' families have been notified so far. I'm Brad Milkey. You're listening to live coverage from ABC News. Let's go right back to Orlando, where ABC's Aaron Katursky is standing by. And Aaron, you've been there throughout the night. What have you been seeing?
We see now a full team of FBI technicians going through the nightclub now that they've succeeded in removing all of the bodies, Brad, and they've identified all but one of the victims. 49 people were shot and killed before police shot and killed gunman Omar Mateen to make 50. Police described him as cool and calm. He killed his victims and then barricaded himself at a nightclub bathroom with hostages. Police were in contact with Mateen, and they said they were delayed in making entry for a 3-hour period because he threatened explosives and to detonate a bomb vest. That slowed things down, but at one point, police, you heard, made the decision that more hostages were in danger. They broke through the wall, traded fire with the suspect, and he was put down.
And, Aaron, we heard law enforcement answering questions there, but many questions remain, including how Mateen could have bought a gun in the first place. He had been questioned by the FBI explicitly about terror. Aaron, what do you know about that?
Questioned 3 times in recent years, beginning in 2013, but was not deemed a significant threat. He had made some statements to co-workers indicating ties to terrorists and ties to a known suicide bomber in Syria, but then the FBI close the case. And so absent any official investigation or criminal charges, he was free to buy weapons, which the ATF said he did last week. And they found inside the club an AR-15 assault-style rifle, a handgun. There was a third weapon found in his car.
And pledging allegiance to ISIS along the way. The mayor of Orlando called it the most horrific day in the history of the city. Indeed, lots of ghastly superlatives. Most deadly terror attack on U.S. soil since 9/11. The most deadly mass shooting in American history. And one of the worst attacks on the American gay community in memory, with 50 dead and 53 wounded. More details still to come. We'll be with you for them all. For Aaron Katursky in Orlando, I'm Brad Milkey. You've been listening to live coverage from ABC News.